Thank you, and I will now take this opportunity to introduce our speaker. She's going to be speaking about Dying with Dignity. So Wanda Morris is the Executive Director of Dying with Dignity Canada. She is a chartered accountant, a past member of the Canadian Association of Public Speakers, and holds a Master's of Arts degree in Transforming Spirituality. Dying with Dignity is a registered charity with over 2,300 members and supporters across Canada. Its mission is to improve the quality of dying and expand end-of-life choices. Dying in Dignity was started over 30 years ago in the basement of the First Unitarian Church in Toronto, which is a very nice connection. Its current members include many Unitarians across Canada. As a longtime Unitarian, former lay chaplain, and past Sunday Morning Service Committee Chair, Wanda feels a special connection to these Unitarian roots. Please welcome Wanda Morris.
It had not been the best of weekends. A dear friend of mine died from cancer. I found out that my husband, my starter husband, had been having a very public and very lengthy affair, and I was fired from my job, told I was surplus to requirements. Now, with the passage of time and the benefit of reflection, some of those things didn't seem so bad. My friend had really been suffering from cancer, and death was a relief. The marriage was well past its best before date, and anything to speed its demise was probably good. But my job, I was a chartered accountant, and I was defined by the excellence of that. I had graduated from university with a Bachelor of Commerce with distinction and was a silver medalist in my accountancy exams. I was made to be a chartered accountant. And there I was at 30 years old on the penthouse floor, the executive floor of the BC Gas building where I worked with a corner office, and suddenly I was no longer employed. I went on to take two more senior finance jobs, neither of which were particularly successful. During this time, I sought out coaching and support. What could I do? I thought I was working hard enough, but what else could I possibly do? The answer came back, "Wanda, we don't need you to do more. We need you to be less, a bit less enthusiastic, a bit less argumentative, a bit less different." I had a life-changing epiphany, as opposed to just an ordinary epiphany, when I was walking through the gardens of Van Dusen Garden Center. I was on a tour with the master gardener there, and she said, "There is no such thing as a disease-prone shrub or an ill tree. It's only a shrub or a tree or a plant that has been planted in the wrong place. A shade-loving plant will not thrive in the sunshine, and something that needs well-drained soil will struggle in clay." Even in those heady days of early success as a chartered accountant, I had niggling doubts. I remember someone saying to me once that the auditors, because for many years I was an auditor, auditors are the ones who come in after the war is done and bayonet the wounded. That really wasn't how I wanted to think about myself. So I decided to pursue a very different second career and become a Unitarian minister. And as I embarked on my theological training, I made a couple of unwelcome discoveries. First of all, I was very active volunteering in my church, and I discovered I really hated committee meetings. And secondly, that I really didn't have good pastoral helping skills. So I decided I needed to look for yet another career path. I was on a course and had a vision. I dreamed of my ideal future. And in that vision, I could see myself on a stage, and I was talking to an audience, and the audience was riveted. And some of them even had tears in their eyes. And I just knew that that's what I was meant to do. The problem was that the vision didn't have a soundtrack. I had no idea what it was that I was talking about, except that I was pretty sure it wasn't chartered accountancy. About that time, my stepfather, my father-in-law, had a particularly horrific death in England where he lived, and I started to get involved in the Choice in Dying movement. I joined Dying with Dignity as a volunteer on the board of directors and then became the executive director. During my first year in this work, I spent a lot of time debating the religious right. The Center for Inquiry sponsored us in a series of debates right across the country where I got to debate all kinds of folks from the Catholic or the evangelical religions. The first one was in Montreal, and it was an astounding success. One of the speakers gave the other a shellacking. Unfortunately, I was the shellackee and not the shellacker. I had been outmaneuvered by a Catholic theologian. I went home to lick my wounds and to get some more coaching support. After all, I had six more of these to survive. But with some coaching, I shifted my debating from a focus on logic and arguments to a focus on story. And by the time I got to the final debate in Toronto, I was the shellacker. And my Catholic opponent, very sweetly, was the shellackee. Then it was during those debates that I really got to hone my speaking skills, so that when I was invited to speak at Idea City, a kind of Canadian TED Talks, last year in Toronto, I was able to give a very succinct 20-minute presentation on why we need choice. And as I was on the stage of Kerner Hall, the assembly in Toronto, I looked out at the audience, and they were riveted, and some of them had tears in their eyes. But as special as that was, my favorite thing continues to be to come and speak to Unitarian groups. Because I have been a long-time Unitarian, and as I look at that and our connection with Dying with Dignity, I really feel that there is some fundamental links in many ways. In your order of service, you have a resolution that the Canadian Unitarian Council passed in 1993. For 20 years, Canadian Unitarians have been supporting choice. Now, you may recall that that was around the time of Sue Rodriguez. And Sue Rodriguez was a Canadian who took her case to the Supreme Court asking for the right to die. And at that time, much of the argument against right to die was the fact that Canadians needed better palliative care. That the right to die argument was a distraction. We needed instead to focus on our poorly funded palliative care system. And we as Unitarians did something that I think we do so very well and I'm so very proud of. We refused to be caught in the dichotomy of either or. And in our resolution, we said that absolutely we need better funding and better palliative care. And then we went on to say that we also need end-of-life choice, physician-assisted dying for the grievously ill at end of life. And it's not surprising to me that so many of our members are Unitarians, because when I look at our principles and sources, I see such links. As Unitarians, we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And it's that belief that calls us to support people like Leslie LaForest. Leslie is a woman. She's a plaintiff in the Carter case in BC. BC currently has a court challenge running for the right to die. And Leslie LaForest, in her testimony, talked about her disease. She is a woman with anal cancer. And she has a tumor growing next to her bowel. Her doctors want her to have surgery. But if she has the surgery, her vagina will be irreparably scarred. She'll no longer be able to enjoy intercourse again, and even the simple act of going to the bathroom will be painful. But if she exercises her right not to have treatment, if she declines the surgery, that tumor is going to grow and grow. Eventually, it will block off her bowel. She will have no way in her body to eliminate waste. The toxins will start to accumulate. Her legs and arms will swell until eventually they force themselves out of every available orifice in her body, and she is literally vomiting feces. That was one of the testimonies that Justice Lynn Smith of the BC Supreme Court found so compelling when she decided that Canadians should have the right to end-of-life choice. As Unitarians, we believe in justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. On my Cross Canada Me Against the Religious Right tour, one of the people I spoke against was a woman by the name of Margaret Doerr. In her speaking, she said, "If you want to have end-of-life choice, go ahead. It's not illegal in Canada to end your life. Go for it. But why make the rest of us get involved?" At the end of her presentation, we had some time for questions and answers, and someone came up and said, "I have a terminal illness and I will soon be in a wheelchair. I won't be able to end my life without support." And she said, "Why don't you drive your wheelchair into a lake?" I believe we're called to offer a more compassionate alternative. As Unitarians, we believe in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Never has the truth been so slandered as in this debate. If you go even today to LifeSite News, you will see a picture of a woman by the name of Els Borst. She's the former health minister in Holland, in the Netherlands. She was the woman in charge when they introduced voluntary euthanasia. And under her picture with her head in her hands looking bereft, and under her picture is a quote that says, I so regret introducing euthanasia into the Netherlands. I'm not sure if you're aware, but Quebec has been going through a process of looking at how they might legalize end-of-life choice in that province. And an all-party commission from Quebec went over and visited Els Borst. They went to Belgium, to Luxembourg, to the Netherlands, and they asked Els Borst, this is really surprising, what is it about, why do you so regret this decision? And she said, "That is a complete lie and an utter falsehood. Yet it is still out there, still published, still quoted today." As Unitarians, I believe we are called to expose these lies. We believe in the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. Yet what we're seeing is that our democratic process is being commandeered by a very small but very vocal minority. You can see this by the way that even though 80% of Canadians support end-of-life choice, of course, with safeguards and guidelines in place, when the press follow a story, they always feel compelled to present both sides, as if the two sides have equal weight. And we saw this enacted horribly in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is a state in the U.S. that recently put up the issue of whether they should have end-of-life choice on a ballot initiative. The folks in Massachusetts were very supportive. 70% or more of them supported this idea. There was no trouble getting the signatures for the ballot referendum. As the date drew closer for the election, some of the support had dropped off. Massachusetts was a very Catholic state, and priests had taken to preaching on the sin and the horror and what would be involved if this happened. But it was really in the last 2 weeks before the election that this fight was lost. The spending from the religious right, primarily from the Catholic Church, exceeded $3 million. It was over 7 times as high as that from the people that supported choice. And they funded a series of ads on television that portrayed things like people being cut off from medical care and instead only being provided the financing to end their lives. Like students massively increasing their suicide, because now as a society we were accepting suicide. And in the end, even though the initial support and all the science supported right to choose, the ballot was lost by less than 10,000 votes. As Unitarians, we believe in wisdom from the world's religions. Wisdom from the world's religions, which inspires us in our ethical and spiritual life. We pull on the traditions around the world to see what we can learn from them. And in the Jewish tradition, there is a story about a rabbi named Rabbi Hillel. And Rabbi Hillel is approached by a Gentile, and the Gentile says, "Rabbi, you Jews talk too much. I will convert to Judaism, but only if you can teach me the whole of the Torah while standing on one foot." And the medieval rabbi, Rabbi Hillel, says, "No problem. That which is hateful to you, do not do unto others. That is the whole of the Torah. The rest is commentary. Go now and study it." As Unitarians, we pull on the spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions. The concept of the sacred circle of life. One reason that is often put up against end-of-life choice is the idea that life is sacred and that we shouldn't be shortening it. But I think, as Unitarians, we have a different view of the sacredness of life. Probably have many different views. But for some of us, it's the idea that it's a sacred cycle of life and death and rebirth. And we don't compromise that sacredness by also offering compassion and supporting dignity. In Canada right now, we are at the cusp of a significant change. We have Quebec talking about introducing new legislation by the end of June this year. And we have a court case in BC where we are awaiting the decision of the Appeal Court of British Columbia, the case next going to the Supreme Court of Canada, and that decision affecting all Canadians. As Unitarians, we have a history of punching above our weight on social issues. We may be a small group, but we have a mighty voice. I would like each of you to think about a horrific death. A death where it's more harmful to be kept alive than to be allowed to die. And if you are certain that this could never happen to you or your family or someone you love, that's fine. But if you think that one day it might hit you close to home. Then I ask you to get involved. We've got a presentation this afternoon, a members' meeting, information on our website, newsletters and brochures for you to learn from. We need people to join, to support us financially, to become volunteers, to counter the lies of the religious right. Martin Luther King said, "In the end, we will not remember the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." Please do not be silent.